Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Today on The Grave Talks, part two of Navigating the Paranormal, a conversation with author Alan Cornelison. How did you feel when you walked away from that place? Well, maybe relieved to being gone.
I got up one morning. I forget. It was like the fifth morning. I got up before Robert, and the cameras were still rolling. My Canon FX-205s. I have a 105 and a 205, and they have big slots in them for the big CS card. They're big cards. I mean, they'll hold lots of data, like 7 hours each. I got up before him. We had this like little apartment that was on site. It was like a little building that they were going to convert into like a little teeny, like a efficiency apartment. It had like a stove, refrigerator, stuff in it, no furniture. I had like an air mattress, and I got up before Robert, and I thought, I'm going to go up there and just take a look around. And I was so stressed. I got up that morning and I just felt like I could feel my chest was felt heavy. I felt sick. I felt a lot like I always did at the Stagecoach Inn. I knew that something was affecting my spirit. I just knew there was a heavy weight on me. I walked into that place and I grabbed that camera and I looked straight at it. It's on video. I've never presented it, but I looked dead in the camera and said, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't know if I can be here anymore. And it was like a 10-minute or 5-minute, I just talked into the camera. I had to talk to somebody, and it was this black eye, and that's all I had. And I didn't want to share it with Robert, you know, but I was in a really bad spot. When Kalani showed up, they did that sound deformation thing, you know, where you put something on your ears, mm-hmm. and then he asked me to do it. And so I graciously said, sure, you know, I'll try. I took my hat off. I don't know if you ever seen me. I got my fedora. I set it on a table, and all of a sudden it gets knocked off. I mean, Kalani catches it on video. It gets knocked off. It gets thrown across the room. So I put these headphones on. I couldn't hear nothing. He just says, just say whatever comes to mind. We're gonna be talking to you out loud. Whatever you think you hear, just say it, repeat it. And pretty soon they like grabbed me and took the headphones off. They said, dude, do you know what you just said? I said, yeah. I said, legions. We just asked how many demonic things were here, and you just said legions.
And of all words for you to use.
Yeah, who to think?
Yeah.
I just out of nowhere, and it's caught on video. They asked what was there and how many, and I all of a sudden I just say legions.
Is it hard when you go to a place like that to leave it behind? In a couple ways. There could be, you know, an attachment or something like that, obviously. But just the mental and physical drain.
It was horrible. Once I got out of Tennessee, I felt a lot better. Of course, Father Lopez, you know, he gave me a virtual blessing, you know, over the Bluetooth. I felt better. You know, he did a cleansing, so to speak. He did kind of a, well, I actually have, it's in Latin. It's about 2.5 minutes long. I have a recording of what they call a light exorcism. It's just a really kind of a, it's an exorcism. It really is. It's in Latin. But it's not like the exorcist is there, but it can be used as an exorcism to calm things down, or maybe even eliminate it completely without actually doing an exorcism. But it's the words.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's complicated, but it works through Father Lopez and his prayers and some of the stuff that he did was able to get me through all that. Robert here recently asked. He said, "Hey, they want to know if we want to come back down there. They're still having problems." I said, "No. I'm not going back down. I proved that there's something going on there. There's no reason for me to go back." We told them they needed to get a priest in there and do an exorcism or at least get a priest to investigate it, to get it sanctioned, to have a real exorcism done. Because you just can't go to a Catholic church and say, "We want an exorcism." It's got to be blessed to the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. It's got to be sanctioned. I said, "They need to do this stuff because there's nothing for me else. I can't do anything else for them. You know, it's proven there's some horrible things going on." Do you ever heard of Dr. Rebecca Foster? She's a psychic medium.
I have not, I don't think.
Okay. Dr. Rebecca Foster. She's got a PhD in parapsychology. She's a very brilliant person. I actually called her and I don't know how all this psychic stuff works. I don't understand it. I know that I will never participate in it because of my religious beliefs. But I called her anyway. I figured, you know what? If these things do manifest themselves through individuals who are able to see things, and I think that's how it works. I really do. I think these people that are mediums, my opinion, basically are the puppet in the puppet master, the demonic things, and they allow them to see things without them even knowing that they're talking to something demonic. Anyway, I thought, I'm going to use her to find out what's going on here. And she told me, she said, there's at least 8 demonic entities at that location. I said, "Oh, okay." So that put another layer on things. We found a piece of paper, and it was just by chance. And I took a picture of it. It was just by chance. It was laying down in the basement. It was just a corner of the piece of old newspaper. And it said 666 on it. I laughed it off at first. And, of course, I posted it right away to my Facebook page. Somebody said, "Oh, it's 999. It's upside down." Well, I thought, you're probably right. Maybe that's it. And so I zoomed in on, you know how you zoom in on something? And I could make out a date. Or more words, and they were right side up, so it was all 666, and I just have to spot it, and it was right there that we would get so much EM activity that the millimeters would go bonkers if you stuck it back in this little hole where this little piece of paper was at. It would just go like something was living in there in this hole down the basement. The basement was creepy on a whole nother level by itself. Yeah, that was a Tennessee house. Wow. I'll never go back.
You know, one thing you talk about in the book is the power of language and ethics. And you even bring up about even the term haunted. You said carries substantial weight and implications. I got to thinking about that, and I'm like, that's so true, because now I don't do any paranormal investigations, But if I was going to a place that everyone says is haunted, my expectation is going to be a certain level.
You can ruin somebody's you can ruin their how can I put this? If somebody asks you to come to their home because they think it's haunted, and you don't put you don't use the footwork, you don't do the heavy lifting to figure out if it is actually haunted, and you tell that person, that client, that they got a haunted location on their hands. I know here in the state of Iowa, they have what they call it. It's a disclosure clause. You got to tell them everything about your property. And you don't necessarily have to say it's haunted, but if somebody would say, is this haunted? You've got to say it is. I had a paranormal investigator in here, and they said it was haunted. Now, this person was trying to sell this house. Let's just throw a number out there for $450,000. And somebody says, you know, it's haunted. I can't give you that much for it. You know, I'll give you $250,000 for it, the way it sits right now. Now the person says, no, I can't take that. Okay, fine. So this person leaves, and they go, yeah, that house is really nice, but it's haunted. So now the word gets out. Mm-hmm. And so now everybody that comes around says, well, we heard it's haunted. We'll give you this. So eventually this person says, you know what? I'm like boxed in. I can't sell it because it's haunted. I'll have to take whatever price I can get. So now you got your labeled, the house is haunted. Somebody moves in. 6 months later, this individual that sells this house gets a phone call from the person who bought it and said, hey, remember that all that stuff that went on that you thought it was haunted? Yeah, yeah. I found out what the problem was. You had some ductwork that was all screwed up, and you had a ping pong ball that was in there bouncing around, and it made it sound like it's haunted. Well, guess what happens now? Not only is that person pissed off because, you know, they were screwed out of that money, but they can come after that paranormal investigator actually and say, look, you said my place was haunted. I had to sell it for this price because you said it was haunted. They could sue you for every little bit of money that they lost on that transaction. It's just like malpractice. Even though it probably wouldn't happen. I mean, they could probably do it in small claims court. Courts aren't really going to touch something that's paranormal. But if you did lie about something that caused somebody else to lose some funds, yeah, you could be held very much liable.
And I find it interesting in the book. This is why I think it is a really good book for people to read who are kind of starting out into paranormal investigations, because it gives you things to think about. Like a code of conduct and ethics, yes, and how you treat, if you're going into someone's home to investigate, how you talk to those people, how you treat those people.
Yes, that's very, very, very important. You've got to believe in everything they say. I wish I had my book in front of me so I could quote everything. I'm because, you know, you write something and you want to say it exactly right. But yes, you want to treat them with all the due respect that you possibly can. You want to be complete, show empathy. And, you know, the more empathy you show and the more respect you show, the more open they'll be with you. And you begin to learn them. You're kind of profiling them in a sense. And they begin to get comfortable with you. And you can actually start figuring out whether or not they're actually having a paranormal problem or they're just lonely.
And,
you know, and you don't want to mess with somebody's head if they're just lonely. You don't want to say, okay, you know, maybe they just want somebody to talk to. You know, you've got to figure that out. It's a juggling act. And these are the things that nobody really thinks about when they do paranormal investigations. Is it really haunted? You know, is it? Let's step back, take a breath. Let's look at this. They're living by themselves. Maybe they just lost a spouse. Maybe they really feel like that spouse is here, but they're just lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And they want them to be here. And so now every little sound, I'm going to call a paranormal investigator. And then paranormal investigator comes in and they listen to them. They actually listen to them. And they're going to use them for their benefit to be on Facebook. And that's wrong. You know, because all they wanted really was somebody to talk to.
Yeah. And they might have been thinking that they were experiencing something.
It could very well be. And that's where you've got to separate being a showman and being a real investigator.
Here is something that you wrote, because I wrote it down. Right. I made a note. It said, in the field of paranormal investigation, the relationship between the investigator and the client is not only vital but also intricate. Trust, credibility, and empathy serve as the cornerstones of this unique connection. And I thought that was a really, that was really a wise way to say that.
It's because profound. Yes.
Yes. Good job on that. But I think that you have to remember these are people you're dealing with. This could be, you could be invited into their home to investigate. Yes. And I think, you know, you talk about looking them in the eye and listening. I think empathy goes a long ways in this world, but especially in paranormal investigations. You know, a lot of these people are scared. And
they are.
So I think your approach makes a huge difference. And so that's what I liked about the book. It helps remind people of what they're dealing with.
You're actually the first good review I've had. I constantly look at Amazon, and I'm looking for stars or anything, a review or something, and there's nothing there. That makes your heart sink.
Here's the thing I have learned a long time ago, because I've had a very public job my adult life. I worked in radio for years doing podcasting. I have learned to not read any comments because I can't handle them.
Well, you know, and if you go and look at those people and you look at, you know, you Google them or whatever, you'll find that they put negative reviews on everything.
Well, and that's kind of their thing. They don't want to lift anybody up. They like to tear people down and make them feel
bad.
And I've decided I can't engage in that anymore in my life. And so I just don't read comments.
It really doesn't. I'm so old anymore that I don't care. I don't care.
But I don't.
You know, you can take me for what I am. You know, you decide. I usually end all my books with saying, you decide.
Yeah.
I ain't shoving this down nobody's throat. It's my opinion, and it's how I look at things. And Navigating the Paranormal is an important book. I really feel it's an important book. I think it's a tool for a paranormal investigator that doesn't take batteries.
Mm-hmm. And I just think it's a good reminder of an approach you should take when you go in. It's not just about jump scares. It's not about views. Nope. You're dealing with real people, real locations. And I think you definitely address the dangers of it.
Yes. And respecting the dead, especially. You got to respect that. You got to respect the dead, you know, and that's another thing that, you know, one of the essentials. And the biggest thing I tell investigators, and I think it's the most important that they should know. If you're doing this to be on TV or have any kind of celebrity at all, you've already failed as a paranormal investigator. You just failed. You're done.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're in this to make yourself 5 minutes of fame on Facebook or whatever, you've already forgotten about the client. It's you're doing it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what it's about. You've got to be, the selfishness of yourself has got to be thrown out the window, and it's got to be 100% who you're trying to help. That's what it's about. I don't even post on my Facebook page. If I go and do an investigation, I don't care if somebody's floating off of a bed. I'm not going to record it. I'm not going to put it on there. I'm there to help somebody. I'm in there. I'm going to go get him a priest.
Well, one.
Yeah, I do. But that's what I'm going to do. I don't care. I mean, that was the one thing that I did a lot of. I posted a lot of stuff. And for what? You know, what did it get me? Well, it got me really sick. I can tell you that. You haven't read into deep yet, but me and a clergy got into it. I won't tell you how bad it got, but it got bad. And my wife witnessed it, and it was bad. It was really, really bad. I was so, let's put it this way. I was so into that place, as I refer to it, that when I would take a lunch break, I would go there and sit on the porch and eat my lunch. That's how consumed I was. I'd get off work and I'd go there. I come home, I go to bed, I get up, and I'd go there for my lunch break. I probably investigated the Stagecoach Inn as long as I could stand the cold until it got to the point where I couldn't go out there anymore because the snow would be too deep because they would never plow. Then I'd start right back up. As soon as it thawed out, I was out there again. I joined the Historical Society as a lifetime member just so I could investigate the Stagecoach Inn.
I would love to have you back just to do an episode on that because you talk about it in the book. You don't go in deep, though. And I was like, this is a whole conversation in itself. I mean,
how many days you got? Every time I do one of these and I talk about the Stagecoach Inn, people say, oh, my God, can we have you on again? I said, yeah, I got a lot more to talk about.
Well, that's why tonight I'm like, I'm going to keep it to navigating the paranormal.
That's where navigating the paranormal comes from. It is the child. It is the child of those. But that's why I felt it so necessary to write Navigating the Paranormal, because if at the end of the book, and you read the book, it says, if you know, I may not have taken this path if I would have had this book. I may not have ever written either of my books if I would have had this book in my hand. If it would have been available to me, I may have said, you know what, I don't want no part of that.
Well, and you might have just answered my last question I wanted to ask you. And looking back over 44 years of paranormal investigation, can you think of one or two things you would have done differently? And you might have just answered that. Maybe if you would have known everything you know now, you would never have even gone to the Stagecoach Inn. Or maybe you never had a choice.
Another layer, and you just said it. You just said what I was going to say. There's another layer to that. I don't believe exactly in destinies, but is there? You know, when I lost all of that, you know, I was adopted. I lost my mother. I lost, you know, my daughter's mother. You know, I mean, was I meant to even have a relationship? I hated God. Literally, I just completely shut God out of my life. I had nothing to do with it. So was it from that point that I heard that one word, mommy, that it like encapsulated me immediately into going down that path? And was the Stagecoach in my destiny? You know, if I would have stayed, if we got to the point where we finally had to move Pam's mother back to Ankeny to get better care, would that place have killed me? That's how bad it was. My wife had taken pictures of me, and I went from like almost 212 pounds down to like 165 pounds.
Oh.
Yeah, I was just withering on the vine. I mean, it was just, I suffered from every illness you can think of. We went through all kinds of financial problems. I got terribly ill. I broke my wrist to the point where it needed 9 screws put in it. I never had problems like that before in my life. I dedicated all to the Stagecoach Inn. I had things that came home with me. My brother-in-law was a minister. And this is another story. I know you told me not to do this, but I mean,
I didn't mean not to do it. I meant that.
This little quick tidbit. It's in the book, In Too Deep. My brother-in-law is a minister. In fact, he married me and Pam. It was a family. It was really a family affair. He was a minister. He's retired now for the Church of God. And he came back in July to see his mother because it's her birth month, her birthday. It's like the 7th July. He comes back. He knows what I'm doing. He tells me, you know, we had a conversation. He said, Alan, just be careful. He says, I've done an exorcism. He says, I've been in an exorcism. I said, really? What was it like? He says, well, there's a lot of screaming. he's kind of funny that way. He says, oh, there's a lot of screaming. Anyway, it was funny because the following morning we get up and we're sitting there eating, you know, and doing whatever. And he brought along this companion that helped him drive all the way from Pennsylvania to here. Nice gal. And we're talking and she says, you know, the oddest thing happened to me last night. I go, really? What was that? You know, she says, well, I felt like I was just like, I was awake, but I couldn't sit up in the bed. I was like, just I was just caked in there. It was just the craziest thing. And she says, from my room, and you could, from the room she was in, which was Pam's old bedroom as a child growing up, it was upstairs in this old house, from where her headboard was, you could see the footboard in front of it to the other bedroom that was just kind of kitty-cornered. So it was kind of a corner-type situation where one door was cornered to another bedroom. And she said, and Mike was standing there. And he was just like looking at the wall, just standing there, didn't move. And then she says, I just all of a sudden just fell asleep and I woke back up and he was gone. What's interesting about that story is 3 or 4 days before Mike had shown up, I knew something had followed me home. And I said to whatever was there, I said, look, if you don't knock it off, I got a brother-in-law, he's a minister. He will bind you. He will take care of you and throw you out of this house. When that happened, when she told me that, sitting there at this table, and I just completely disregarded it. I just like, oh, wow, that's interesting. I thought to myself, my God, something is showing me how powerful it is by manipulating a man of God. I felt like I could have melted my chair. I thought, Mike is powerless. This thing was sizing him up. He didn't remember it. He didn't. And Pam says, you've never done that before. He says, I don't remember doing anything like that ever. So I don't remember standing. And I guess he was just like his nose was like inches from the
and
wall.
He doesn't remember it at all.
No.
And could it have been a vision that she was having? Maybe he was in bed.
No, nope. She says, I was wide awake. She says, I was like paralyzed. She says, I was just completely just immobile. She says, the fan was running, you know, because it was summertime. She says, it was really the only relief I had because I was hot. And she says, I couldn't move. I couldn't even get the blankets off of me. And she says, I rolled my head over to one side and there was Mike just standing there. She's also in the ministry. She works in the same church that Mike works in. I was just like, oh my God. That's just more than what this thing, whatever it is like powerful. I seen it.
Do you feel like now in your life, you're in a good place? Things feel lighter, better?
Oh yeah. My life is better. Yes. But people ask me, they said, Alan, will you ever go there and investigate again? I said, I do about every day about for 5 seconds. All it takes is a piece. You know, I work in a hardware store. I'm a mechanic. Okay. And I'll see a link of chain. I'll see a nail. I'll see a saw. I'll see something. And it, for some reason, brings me right back to the Stagecoach Inn. Wow. I will see an old house and it'll bring me right back to the Stagecoach Inn for an instant every day. Constantly, it's just always there.
I call it paranormal PTSD, and it sounds like you have a little bit of that, you know.
I think, well, yeah, people said the same thing to me. I had an artist. I commissioned an artist to do a painting for me. In fact, if you read the book In Conflict, it talks about the dreams that I was having, and I was having this dream constantly. And so I commissioned an artist. I said, can you do me a favor? If I describe something to you, can you paint it for me? He said, sure. It's a unique way of painting. It's kind of a smear thing. I can't even describe it, but it's very unique. It's beautiful. And I said, it's all gray. It's like recognizable, but unrecognizable. It's the only way I can describe it. It's like a vacuum and it's chaos. And I recognized something, but I don't recognize something. I finally did, and it was the Stagecoach Inn.
Mm.
And they drew it, or she painted this, and I said, that's it. I mean, it's as close as it could be. And I said, that's so cool. I said, why did you put little people in here? She said, I didn't. There's no people in there. I said, no, right here. Look. She says, oh, my God. She says, there are people there.
Had no idea.
No. She said, I no. So I have that in my office, and of course I have, you know, an 8x10 picture of the Stagecoach Inn. I still have the keys to the place. I got them locked away in a little strong box in my little. I actually have a haunted cabinet. All the people that I have done investigations for, if they really feel like there's something attached to it, I take it off their hands. They can have it back whenever they want. But I keep it for them. For instance, I got a Kodak camera, an old Kodak from 1940, something. Anyway, it was in the Philippines during World War II, and it took some horrific pictures. I got the pictures and everything of this Marine, for instance. He's just proudly, very proudly taking, smiling, holding two Japanese heads in each hand. They said, we don't want this in our house. There's bad mojo with these pictures. And so I literally, and of course, Father Ruben Lopez, he blessed the cabinet. But I got all kinds of, I actually got from a person a ceremonial dagger, the original one. It was on a uniform of an SS soldier. Yes, it's dark.
You know.
It's in there.
Yeah.
So I'm around this stuff all the time.
You got to be careful, Alan.
Well, I am. I am very careful anymore. I play my Native American flute to light myself up. I go to the woods a lot. That's where I connect myself. That's my church.
Good.
My church is the woods. But no, that's why I thought it was so important to write this book, because nobody really takes it too seriously, and they should. Investigators don't take it seriously. Especially when it comes to like exorcisms. Oh my God, that makes me so mad. Everybody gets online and they go on these online courses to become an exorcist. They're causing more harm than good. For one thing, they're going to probably be affected by something very demonic very quick. They haven't been sanctioned by the church. To be an exorcist, you're chosen. You've got to be Catholic. You've got to be, I mean, Father Lopez, I wish I would have him on with me right now, because he would explain it all to you. But I was watching, it was somebody that I kind of knew that did a seminar. I was watching a seminar, and they had only been in the paranormal for a very short period of time, maybe 5 years. And they were trying to make a name for themselves. They were trying to get into being noticed, to get, you know, maybe a contract for some TV show. They were hanging around with the Frank Zappas's and all the important people. And she was got her degree in demonology and also to be an exorcist. And she stand up doing this seminar, and I'm listening to it and see what she has to say. And she says, you know, the most important thing that you need to bring to an exorcism is, and I thought for sure she was going to say God. She says, yourself. I about dropped my teeth. I thought, oh my God, this is where this has gone. People believe that they can just do it on their own. They can declare themselves an exorcist, and all they got to do is show up. There's two things that are around us all the time: angelics and demonics. That's it. Angelics will not make things move. They do not make themselves known. They are basically sentinels. That's what they are. They're just sentinels. If you need help, if you pray to God for some help and guidance, those angels are there. They will in some way intervene. Demonics, on the other hand, they want to be seen. They're the things that tip things over. They're the things that make things move. You know, that's what they want to see. You know, you pray every day. People pray to God every day to have this fixed or that fixed or do something go right or whatever, and you don't really get an answer. You might maybe someday, you know, answers come in bizarre ways. You know, maybe you prayed about something 2 years ago, and all of a sudden you go, man, I prayed about that once, and here it is. These demonic things, they want the center of attention, and they want to drag you down these very dark paths. They are master manipulators. Since the beginning of whenever it was that God cast Lucifer to hell and all the angels went with him, all of these little dominions have had billions, godzillions of years to hone their deceptive acts. They know us better than we know ourselves, and they are master manipulators. They are identity thieves. They will steal the identity of your dad, of your mom, of your uncle, of Abe Lincoln. They don't care as long as they can pull you down into these dark places.
To get the book, is the best place to go to Amazon?
Yes.
Okay, because that's where I got it.
Yeah, I occasionally do book signings, not very often. Because believe it or not, I got to pay for my own books.
Right,
I'm poor.
Right.
So occasionally I'll go out and I'll buy several books of in navigating the paranormal or in too deep and in conflict. And I'll go to these paracons and I'll do a book signing and you can buy them straight from me. Occasionally I will buy some books and try to sell them online, but people aren't very comfortable with that. You know, they don't know me. I get it. You know, they don't want to use the square. They don't want to do all that kind of stuff. So I just let Amazon take care of it. But yeah, they're all on Amazon.
And do you have a website as well? People can get information?
Yes, I do. Yes, it's called allenlobo.com.
Okay. A-L-L-E-N, right?
A-L-L-E-N, Lobo, L-O-B-O.com.
And I'll put a link in the show notes.
Yep, and there's some interesting stuff on there. I talk a lot about God. I talk a lot about who I am, my identity as being Lobo. I am what they call a quiet warrior. I have a little logo. It's in blazed orange, kind of like the Cherokee blazed orange flag. It has an arrowhead that points straight up, which means that's your north, that's your God. Mm-hmm. A lot of significance in it. In fact, it's written out in there exactly what it means. And I got some really cool videos in there, too. There's some stuff in there that I've captured over the years I think people will find pretty interesting.
Well, I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to talk today. This was a very interesting conversation.
Well, I'm more than happy to do it again.
Well, thank you very much. We will. And that wraps up our conversation with Alan Cornelison about his book, Navigating the Paranormal. Get more information at allenlobo.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, you can become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want consistent color for every job? Mylo's Pro Rewards members get a 20% paint discount on future purchases after paint annual qualifying spend reaches $3,000. Plus, order eligible in-stock paint and paint supplies by 2 p.m. for free same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Improving is easy at Lowe's. Excludes spray paint and mist tints. More exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Subject to change. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Same-day delivery valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. Details at Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Raise your hand if you want your nails to look perfect all the time. Me too. I'm Sarah Gibson Tuttle from Olive & June, and this is exactly why we created the Manny system. We wanted to make it possible for everyone everywhere to give themselves a beautiful manicure at home. With our tools and our long-lasting polish, each manicure with our Manny system comes out to just $2. That's right, $2. No more $30, $40, $50 manis that you get at a salon and they take hours. Now you can paint your nails on your time and love them more than ever. And by the way, when people ask, who did your nails, where did you get them done? You're going to proudly say, I did them myself. Get 20% off your first Manny system with code DIYNAIL20 at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20. That's code DIYNAIL20 for 20% off at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.